Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Every morning when I do my yoga, I position two mats in front of the wood stove. As you might imagine, when the weather's cooler and I'm using the wood stove to heat the house, this is prime real estate. As a result, if I didn't do something to prevent it, I would have at least two dogs and sometimes a cat competing with me for space on the mats. And because the mats are particularly cat claw friendly, I didn't see this as a good thing, any more than I considered it a good thing to have a downward dog under my downward dog who might then become a squash dog. It just doesn't help when you're trying to be at one with yourself and live in the moment and meditate. So I hit upon this idea that I would feed them a tenth of their breakfast in their bowls and put the rest in interactive toys of one sort or another. This works very well because it keeps them out of my way. On the other hand, if my mind is supposed to be completely blank or in some deep meditative state, it isn't, because I'm so fascinated by watching how they play. Every dog I've had has had a different strategy of play, how they explored their toys, which toys appealed to them, what they did with them. Currently, Fricka is my puzzle solver. And I have to make sure that on the interactive toys, I set any setting so that she can't get all of the food out. There's always at least one piece left. Otherwise, when she solves a puzzle, she loses interest and she quits. So she gets the more difficult toys. Ollie, on the other hand, sometimes I tell him he is just such a boy. He attacks his toy and has to get all the food out of it right away. Well, not right away, but he has to bash it around and bang it on the floor until the food comes flying out, and he only has so much time for it. The reason isn't because he intends to come over and bug me while I'm trying to master some difficult pose or become one with my most inner self. He wants to get done with the toy to get enough energy so he can move on to his favorite toy, the ball. Then he spends the rest of his time making up games with his ball. I have no idea what goes through his mind when he plays with that ball, but just watching him and having raised two sons, I can tell you that sometimes the ball is his best friend, and sometimes it's his prey, and sometimes it's his worst enemy. So he has a very rich, creative life that centers around the ball, one that Frick doesn't engage in. On the other hand, Frick used to be a ball freak too, and then after she had her puppies, she sort of outgrew it. Will Ollie outgrow it? I don't know. What's interesting to me is I watch both animals and young children play, and some adults who have managed to hang on to the ability to do this, is that they're doing what so many of us attempt to achieve with our exercises of one sort or another. To live in the moment, to be at one, to be mindful. And they do it so effortlessly. And I can't help thinking, as I do my exercises, my tree poses, my downward dogs, my lotus and the other ones, that when I'm also aware of my dogs playing, somehow I'm learning to be more mindful, more in the moment, and more at one than I would be were I doing those exercises alone.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.